Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got three people with me on Zoom right now, although we are recording it in a smart way so that it sounds way better than a compressed Zoom recording. But I've got the team behind the short film Flat, which was at the film festival Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2020. And Flat is also in the Discover Indie Film TV series. I've got Evan Ostro, the writer-director, Marshall Thompson, the editor and grip, and Elias Serpa, the composer. So, hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
All right, and they're going to answer. Well, before I bring up what they're going to answer, you should watch Flat. You should go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film and check out Season 4, Episode 4, or all of Season 4, up to you. Actually, you should do all four seasons because you love indie film. So anyhow, Flat is what brought these three gentlemen here, but this podcast episode is going to be them answering the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films of all time, limit three, a film that's underrated, a film that's overrated, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And I'll shut up and let you guys fight over who answers first.
Maybe like Shawshank. It's just a great movie. You can just watch that anytime.
It is an amazing movie. And the score is to die for.
You just made me think of a new one.
And then one that's underrated.
Oh no, we're doing our favorite.
Yeah, no, we'll have all three of you do a favorite.
Okay.
All right, well, Marshall's a Shawshank fan, Shawshank is just that film's going to last forever.
Mm-hmm. It is a masterclass in filmmaking, you know, like in one notch, like everything about the storytelling, the pacing, the score, like everything's amazing about that film. I would say one of my favorite films of all time would be Alien, like the first one. I think it was kind of ahead of its time and the subtext of all and like, you know, the struggles and the art, and I love it. And the score by Jerry Goldsmith is amazing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in case it wasn't clear, that was Elias. So Marshall was Shawshank Redemption. Elias is Alien. Two fantastic. I mean, Alien is just a masterpiece. Like you said.
Love that movie.
Yeah. The set, like everything, you know, and the female-centric lead, and, you know, that's the hero of the story. Like, I think there were so many elements in that movie that not only have proven to get better with time, that it's just, that's the quality of art, you know, and especially a sci-fi thing, you know. I think, you know, like maybe Star Wars, there's like big sci-fi movies that have outlasted, and, you know, because it started looking silly after a fact, you know, because technology advances, but when there's great storytelling, then there's, you know, then you can disregard if this looks fake or not. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so embedded in the story.
Yeah. And unlike Star Wars, Alien has amazing performances. Star Wars is not about the acting, but Alien, my God, the people sitting around that table for the chest burster scene.
Yeah.
It's like some of the greatest actors of our era.
Yeah.
Great camaraderie with that crew.
Yeah.
You feel like you're there with them, like you're really part of it.
It's shot in a claustrophobic way. Mm-hmm. So many scenes. I don't know. I can rave about Alien all day.
Yeah. I'm going to say for mine, it's got to be one of my tops is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Western is obviously a theme here, but I love it. It's William Goldman's writing. I just love like most of the stuff that he's done. I know like he's done the Hot Rock as well, which is, I think it's 1973 with Robert Redford. Not that great of a heist movie. Didn't really have like a good turnaround on it, but I really appreciate his writing.
For sure. I mean, that's a classic. I think that was one of the first films I saw in the theater.
Wow.
But it wasn't first release, but my parents took us because that was back when, you know, a movie would have a couple theatrical runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember not liking all the kissing. I was a kid. But yeah, that's a brilliant, amazing classic. And it's George Hill, right?
Yeah, George Roy Hill. I think one thing that I really like about it too is just the fact that you're rooting for the bad guys, and I know it's controversial when it came out, but they run from the law instead of facing it. And I feel like a lot of people didn't like it when that came out, but I always thought that that was cool.
Yeah, it probably was a lot more counterculture than we realize today. Today, it's just like a classic film with these super famous actors in it. But at the time, it probably was very counterculture to mm-hmm. celebrate criminals.
Yeah. And for what a Western really was, for like the cowboys and stuff, there was a lot of like emotion going on with these characters rather than just being like a shoot 'em up type of thing.
For sure. For sure. And again, cinematography out in the wilderness.
Yeah. That's like the theme.
Yeah. I'm picking up on it now. Yeah.
So great. So great. All right. Well, Evan, why don't you go first for question two, which is a film that's underrated.
All right. For underrated, I'm going to go with The Adventures of Tintin from 2011, the Spielberg movie.
Oh, that score.
Because I really want a sequel to that so badly.
Like, that is, I don't listen to much scores in my car when I'm driving because, you know, they have a different pacing and they're not that appropriate for driving around. But Tintin, like if you're running errands, like it makes everything an adventure. And it's so jazzy and intricate. It's glorious. Mm-hmm. Glorious score.
I got to see it.
Oh, you got to see it. Oh, man.
It is. Yeah.
I agree with you. It's very underrated. Mm-hmm. I went to a French school when I was growing up and they made us like fill up the blanks in Tintin kind of like outlets when I was in school. So it's, for me, Tintin was part of my childhood, although, you know, it was in Venezuela and whatnot. But when I saw the movie, I was like so excited. It's making a theatrical release. John Williams scoring it. This is amazing. And then like people didn't care that much here in the US about Tintin. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. The book, I mean, it's well known, but yeah, it's not the icon it is elsewhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, as the French call it, Tintin.
Yeah.
Tintin.
Tintin, yeah.
All right, well, Elias, you're in the middle. You want to go second for an underrated film?
I feel it's underrated in certain circles. I don't think it's throughout, but this movie that came out a couple of years ago called The Witch, the horror film that was the first, I don't remember the director's name. I'm sorry about that if you're listening. I went to the premiere and it was kind of by chance. I had the day off. We wanted to go see something scary. My wife and I went there and the music in that one and the storytelling and the cinematography, I don't know. I know it's very claustrophobic, just the house. It's like very low budget in that sense, but I think it's film at its best, I think.
Yeah. Something really pretty about it.
Disturbing. Yeah, that's the Robert Eggers. It's and it's part of this new movement in a way where horror is more about just a general feeling of creepiness and unease, right? Like it's like The Witch isn't about jump scares per se.
Yeah, and you know, my mom hates like any horror films, and I convinced her to watch this one, and she was happy after. You know, that's what, like she hates horror films. It was like, but it was so beautiful, and there were so much things going, and there was like the family drama. Like as you're saying, it's not only about here comes the witch, and, you know, it's gonna do this or that, and the ending is marvelous too.
Yeah, I mean, we watched that trailer for Lamb or Sheep or something that's coming out, man, that it's kind of the same thing where it's like it's just the way they shot it is disturbing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, humans are scary sometimes. And I think it's just the right light and angle, and then you get to see our scary parts that sometimes, you know, we get buried inside, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Marshall, you get to do an underrated.
There's this Western called Jesse James, Assassination of Jesse James. That was, I thought, really cool.
Yeah, by the Coward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That just like the cinematography and stuff was really cool in that, and the music was really good. And I just think I don't think it made a lot of money, and
yeah,
but it was cool.
Deacon shot it,
yeah,
didn't he? He came up with the Deacon vision, with the camera for that, right?
Yeah.
He like created his own lens or something like that. That movie's excellent.
Yeah, I think what hurt that film was the title, even though I thought it was so cool that the title was absurdly long.
Yeah.
But maybe the average moviegoer couldn't see a film that's like, you know, got a 12-word title. Just a theory.
Mm-hmm. I think it was really long too, like not a lot of action and stuff. So just not a movie that a lot of people would probably see.
And what year did that come out? Because I remember seeing it in the theaters. And
it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was like, I think I was very young when I went to see it, and I think it was one of the first movies that I had the impression that it had like a different pacing. I was like, oh, you can make movies that are not like boom, 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 things happening. It's like, you know, we're sitting here with this character and this is what the movie's about. It's about sitting with the character, not about the shootouts. And I remember having that, I don't know, I think it was like 12 or something when I went to watch it. It was like a small kid, but I was like, oh, I didn't know there were movies like this. It wasn't 3 hours long, right?
But I multitasked, and it's 2007.
2007.
Which, 2007, yeah.
So 14 years ago.
Yeah. Casey Affleck and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And it was a great cast, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Casey is fantastic.
It's awesome in it.
I'm a big fan of Casey.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next question is overrated. And you guys seem like you'd be game, but I always throw in a little disclaimer. Like, you're not necessarily insulting the film. You could say, I love this film. It's just, you know, like maybe it's, everyone says this is the best Coen Brothers movie, but it's actually totally not. It's not even in their top five. Like, it could be something like that. So...
This is the scariest one.
Yeah, as you said, once we rose to fame, people are going to go looking up for dirt, and this is exactly where they'll find it.
Well, you are free to say all film is wonderful and nothing is overrated, but, you know, I understand we're recording if you care.
No, it's up to you. We'll be good sports.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll rip off the Band-Aid. I have one written down, but I'm going to go with Lost in Translation.
Hmm.
And that was like one best original screenplay, but for some reason.
And it was 8 pages and an improvised film.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was that particular award was insulting. Even if you love the film, I think it's a really good film, but best original screenplay for not writing a screenplay was a weird move. I would file that under the same. I always thought it would, you guys might be too young for this, but they always did this thing with the Oscars where if a child female actor was good in a movie, they give her best supporting actress, which was such a punch in the face to every woman in her 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever age that you'd be like, oh, the little girl in the piano should win. And Anna Paquin, I love, but come on. It's a kid acting like a kid in front of a camera. Like, this is should not be the Oscar. And I think they've done it like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. That's, I agree.
So anyway, that's my view of the Lost in Translation Oscar. All right. I went on a tangent. Elias, you want to do an overrated?
I would say Shape of Water, which I think is kind of ballsy, you know, because I think this guy is one of the greatest composers, you know, in Hollywood, bar none. But it's a love story with a monster. Come on, man. Like, we've seen that story many times. Oh, it's, you know, the monster is gorgeous and it's beautifully done. And, you know, and I think Guillermo created like a wonderful, fantastic world around it and about compassion. And I think it's a great movie. I don't think it's like, you know, the best amazing movie or whatever.
Actually, that totally fits my example, the Coen example. That's, it's a great movie, but it's not even close to Guillermo del Toro's best.
Or this Blatt score too, you know, he has so many other amazing, you know, again, he's a terrific composer, but then it's, you know, it's whistling and, you know, it sounds French. And
yeah, I think the coolest thing about that movie is that it got made. I was watching it and I was going, I cannot believe that, like, a fairy tale is out at Oscar season. Like, And I mean, it's just like a simple fairy tale too. It's pretty cool.
I love the whimsical look of all, you know, that it does. Being a monsters movie, it never dips into monster territory, you know.
Well, the real monster was Michael Shannon, right? And boy, was that a comic book monster. I could just see him turning to Del Toro and saying, so should I be 120% government creep or 170% government creep? Like,
he was good in that.
He's so good.
Some props for that one, yeah.
All right, this makes it Marshall's turn for overrated.
I would say maybe like King's Speech or something. I remember that was like one where I was probably starting to really get into movies, and that was like got a bunch of Oscar nominations, and I was like, man, this is boring. But
fair enough, which is exactly what this fun list is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think anyone would say, no, man, that movie was action-packed.
Yeah, I think it's like the definition of a movie for older people, right? Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, there's like grandparents watching, and they're just like, oh my God, my heart's just wrenched with this guy, you know, and what he had to go through. It's like, it's a freaking king, come on, man. Like, yeah. How bad can his life be?
And I guess it's just like, pace too, because like the other one that I was talking about, Jesse James, I'm sure that was boring to tons of people too,
yeah,
because nothing happened, but it's just, I guess, just whatever you watch. Like. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, film is a subjective art form, and everyone's going to love something different. I loved Eliza's comment. Like, it's a movie for old people. Like, I watched, that Soderbergh film with Meryl Streep where she and Diane Wiest and Candice Bergen like take a cruise together. I loved it. But when it was over, I said, wow, that was a film about old people, by old people, for people like I was like, I don't think anyone under 50 could appreciate what I just sat through. But I loved it.
What is that one?
I got to look it up. I watched it after watching, it's on Netflix because Soderbergh has that Netflix deal. So I watched No Sudden Move. But the next question, should I look this up? The next question is a lesser known film that people should seek out. And I'm making a big mistake because I'm looking at Soderbergh's filmography and it's going to be way too long. But if I go to the bottom, right before No Sudden Move, he did Let Them All Talk.
Let Them All Talk.
Which is just women in their 70s working out a mistake in their friendships that they've made.
Huh. Nice.
And if you're old enough to have childhood friends who you haven't seen in 30 years, like me, it's a great movie.
All right.
Cool. I'll take your word for it.
I don't know if I'd recommend it, but all right. It's good. It's really, I like everything he does. All right. Soon.
In due time, we'll watch it.
When you guys are like, yeah, I haven't seen those Wild Oz friends for a while. I'll watch the Meryl Streep movie.
I'll start off the lesser known film that I think people should seek out. One that comes to mind is called I Am Alone. It came out in 2015. It's a drama horror sci-fi. And it's basically like Bear Grylls reality TV type of thing, but while he's out there surviving, there's a zombie attack and this guy's like out there to fend for himself, and it's a very cool found footage movie.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's on Amazon for,
oh, good to know. I Am Alone. Who wants to do the next lesser known people should seek out?
You can go.
I really like the remake of Suspiria that was on Amazon as well. I don't know if you watched that one. The original one was like this 70s Italian horror movie about a ballet academy. And it was like a weird premise. But this newer one, I thought that it had that well, the score was amazing too, but it had that raw thing that The Witch also has, that, you know, it's a lot about people and, of course, all the horrors that happen to them, but it's mostly about people first. You know, the VFX are disgustingly good.
Can you say the title again for me?
Suspiria.
Awesome.
Suspiria. Which I guess is like whispering in Italian. I don't know.
Is it, that one's a horror movie too?
And it's long. It's like 2.5 hours or something like that. And yeah, it's about this Berlin dance academy. And then you suddenly realize it's not so much about the dancing. And then, you know, it gets creepier and creepier and gruesome and creepier and gruesome. And it's fantastic.
Slow burn.
Yeah.
At least I haven't seen the remake, but the original one.
Yeah.
So slow.
This one, I didn't feel this one as slow necessarily, but it does take its time to unravel. Mm-hmm. But it keeps it interesting. It's not like every 10 minutes, you know, I wouldn't recommend with your 12-year-old girl, or 14, sorry. But it's very artsy and cool. It has a great cast too. I think there's
in the corner.
Ballet movies can kick ass, you know. The Aronofsky one was a pretty good ballet horror.
Black Swan.
The Black Swan, yeah. Amazing.
I love the poster for Suspiria.
So this one has Dakota Johnson and Tilda Swinton in it.
Oh, I'd watch anything with Tilda Swinton in it.
Oh, man, that's...
Is she ever bad?
Nah.
Nah, she's never bad. All right.
She's like the head teacher there. So, you know, it really, you know, it's beautiful.
All right, Marshall, you got a lesser known we should seek out?
I can't think of one.
No worries.
Yeah. I mean, me and Evan just saw one. I don't think it's lesser known, but it's Cry Macho with Clint Eastwood. It was just cool because he's so old and he's still making movies. So it's like, that guy's 90 years old and he's still making movies. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his HBO Max original, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just came out maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. My HBO Max app keeps recommending I watch it.
If you got time.
Yeah.
If I got time.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I hope that was fun. You guys feel like you got to know each other's taste better.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. And you know what? You guys inspired me to watch a couple films I haven't managed to catch. And I feel like I got to watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid again, because I think it's been about 40 years.
Oh, wow.
What's one for you that's underrated?
My underrated is like Miller's Crossing, I think. Gets overlooked way too much. I think it's kind of flawless and perfect, and everyone should be forced to see it. Like, you know,
like Clockwork Orange
style. I just think it's amazing. And everyone, I love Lebowski and I love Fargo and I love, you know, No Country for Old Men. They're all great, but they're all lesser than Miller's Crossing. Mm. If you ask me.
I've never seen it.
I'm going to have to look that out. Thank you for important wisdom.
Yeah. It's actually the second Coen brother, or third, because it was Blood Simple, then Raising Arizona, and then they made this masterpiece called Miller's Crossing. What can I say?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess I know it, so I'll say the three gentlemen you just listened to, Evan Ostro, Marshall Thompson, and Elias Serpa, they combine forces to make the film Flat, which you can watch on Amazon Prime Video if you just search for Discover Indie Film and go to season 4, episode 4. And their company is called Wild Oz Film. WildOzFilm.com is how you learn about it. So you should do that. You should check out their earlier shorts. You should watch Flat on Amazon Prime and Discover Indie Film. Everyone should binge Discover Indie Film. At the end of the last, when I interviewed you guys, I forgot to ask people to give Discover Indie Film 5 stars and give this podcast 5 stars. If you're listening to this, you should give it 5 stars. Be a kind person. And whatever service you're listening on, give 5 stars. It doesn't cost you anything to help people out and make them feel good. All right. And I will wrap things up by mentioning the Discovery Indie Film website. It's this podcast, and it's got a companion TV series. And you can learn all about that if you go to discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And Flat played at the festival Film Invasion Los Angeles back in 2020 when they submitted the film when there was no COVID. And then by the time the June festival came around, we were in COVID world, but we had a great screening and people got to see the film, and it was really a good time. And you can learn about Film Invasion Los Angeles if you go to filminvasionla.com, and on social media, it's at filminvasionla. And every November, we hold another festival. That's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. And you can learn about it if you go to shermanoaksff.com. And on social media, it's at shermanoaksff. And I believe I've said everything I'm supposed to. You know, it's funny. The other day, I thought, there's one more thing I should say. And I just don't remember it.
Probably not that important.
It's probably more important than I realize, but like that's why I gotta write it down. But thank you all three for hopping on Zoom and chatting about movies.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting, Jeff.
And looking forward to your future films. And I hope they're gonna be part of the festivals in a year, next year, or whenever things lighten up enough for there to be films that are not just two people in an apartment.
Us too.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, thank you also to everyone who's listening.